So no one can take it as my seeing because it arises and falls away. Yeah. What else arises and falls away?
Everything.
So no self, no one, only realities, right?
You mean everything is...
real, a reality.
Oh, okay.
Seeing is not you, and what about hearing?
It's also not me, just...
And what about thinking?
Not me.
And what about like? Attachment?
No, it's just attachment, but it's not real.
And what about anger?
Yeah, the same.
And what about hardness?
That's not a reality too.
So can we call all these Dhamma because it does not belong to anyone at all? Seeing does not belong to anyone. Hearing just arises and here. All these are not human being or deva or dogs or cat. Can you change seeing into hearing?
Not at the same moment.
Can you?
At the same moment?
Can you?
No. Only smelling at this moment and hearing in another, not in the same time.
So no one can have anything at will at all?
Yeah.
Is that Dhamma?
Is it Dhamma? No.
What is it?
I think she means Dhamma as in...
the any.
Is it smelling and so on, a Dhamma, yeah? I think it is, as I think now, but it's quite hard to think right
now. Or hard to believe? Hard to believe or hard to think about or what? Or hard to understand?
Hard to understand this for me personally.
Where's your seeing yesterday?
With me.
Moment ago?
So, I don't see right now? I see.
Seeing is seeing no one, no you.
Oh, it's not mine, yeah?
And it's gone each moment.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Ajahn, may I ask a question? It comes into my mind because that's in Tipitaka, and you also mentioned this quite a lot in discourses about the realities and the like the visible object. It's a rupa that is visible, and for example seeing and all other dhammas are not visible. And can you explain that more? That visible object is visible and all other dhammas are not visible, even the seeing that sees.
Is citta visible?
It's, yeah, but the point, no, I mean, I cannot say about anything about this, but I've heard it before, and you said that it's the characteristic of experiencing cannot be visible because it has no shape and form, it just experiences an object. So what is seen is just visible object.
Visible object is not seen.
Yeah, it's not, because there must be citta and the cetasika that help to experience that object.
Even now is now. visible object is appearing and seeing sees it. So seeing is not the visible object at all, but it is that which now sees.
And what that means that visible object is visible?
Because it is seen now. What is seen is, you don't have to call it visible object. That which is seen now is a reality because it is seen. No imagination. Do you have to think of something to see? Or no need? Because whenever there is seeing, there is that which is seen. No one can stop. No one can hinder seeing not to see whatever appears now. And this is a Dhamma, a reality, appears whenever there is that which can experience it.
Like we see this, see it by yourselves.
Yeah? No one at all. At moment of seeing, where are you? It is not that you are seeing. Seeing sees.
Lucas describes me this many times, but even now it's hard for me to accept it. Because
do you think there is you somewhere?
That I'm
now. Where are you? Somewhere? Or at moment of seeing? Thinking, smelling, tasting, hearing?
Could you describe this in another way? No. Because I don't understand.
We talk
this.
About the characteristic of a reality at a time.
Yes.
At this moment, there is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing arises to see.
Yeah.
It cannot think, it cannot hear.
Yeah.
And with our conditions, or the proper conditions for its arising, it cannot arise. For example, if there is no eye base, there is no seeing at all.
Yes.
So, can seeing arise by itself, or at will to arise anytime? Or it can arise only when there's proper conditions for its arising. Just then. And whatever arises falls away instantly, unknowingly. That's
but
why
only with condition.
Proper condition for each reality. Like hearing.
There is no condition, there is no seeing at all.
If there is no condition for seeing, there is no seeing.
Yes. Okay.
And this is what we call Dhamma, the absolute reality. It doesn't belong to anyone because there's no one. After birth, there must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking from day to day, from moment to moment, by conditions.
Oh, another question. What is ego? This thing that we think...
If there were no realities at all. If there were no realities at all.
Yes.
Where's the ego? How come the ego? It's only thinking.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. So it's not... Oh, okay.
Yes. So what is the point in listening to Dhamma?
to know that there are no one at all.
But if there is no one, then who listens to Dhamma?
Only Dhamma arises and falls away from the time of birth to the time of death. Only Dhammas arising and falling away in split seconds, unknowingly, like now, seeing arises and falls away. Because there is not always seeing. Some moment there is hearing, which is not seeing. And some moments there are thinking, not seeing, by conditions. To see that what you take for you or yourself is only thinking and wrong understanding, because of not knowing or understanding whatever appears as just a temporary reality. One at a time.
So if there is then so if a reality appears or a state of mind that tells me to go to sleep or just tiredness appear, then I will probably go to sleep then.
What is sleeping? What is sleeping?
It's the condition of being tired, the state of mind where it just...
No citta? No citta? Or citta sleeps?
Citta sleeps.
So not you or me or anyone that you're sleeping, different cheetahs.
So no decision making. There is nobody to make a decision whether to sleep or to...
What makes decisions?
And what is decision? What is decision? Can a table or a material make decision?
Can I make a decision to...
No, I. Citta.
Citta.
That can which Chitta experiences...
Can Chitta make a decision on this water here?
Mm-hmm.
To drink it or not? Or to spill it?
Mm-hmm. That's why there are two types of realities. One arises, but it cannot experience anything at all. And without the other type of reality, which arises to know or experience, whenever it arises, it has to know or experience an object. It cannot just arise and know, but no object. There must be object.
But, for example, this table can't broke up just instantly without citta, right?
What do you mean by the reality of this table?
You know...
What is the reality of this table?
It's just this, here.
Touch it? Is it touch it? Touch what you take for a table. Now, touch it.
Yeah,
what appears? No table at all. At moment of touching. But the nimitta, the shape and form of what is seen, condition the idea of something there as a table. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the Dhamma, the absolute reality, is hardness. This is hard, this is hard, depending on different shape and form you call it. Remember it as different things. But all that you take for table or bottle is now that which is seen. And this is what we call Dhamma. To represent the realities. And it is absolute realities, because no body can change its characteristic or the way it is. When there are conditions for its arising, it arises. Is there any difference between hardness here that you take for your body and there which you take for a table?
Difference in degree of hardness also.
But can hardness change its characteristic no matter where, here or there? And some hardness conditioned by temperature, and some by citta, and some by nutrition, and some by karma. And why should we have some understanding of all these realities?
I have another question.
Yes.
Who will have the understanding?
No.
No one.
No one.
So why do you ask, why should we have the understanding?
Because if you don't know, it's ignorance, not you.
Why me? There's no me.
No you, no me, but there are ignorances. And all akusala dhammas.
Okay.
So the question just means, why should there be understanding? Not when she says, why should you? It's just a way of speaking. But it just means, why should there be understanding? What is the purpose or the value of having understanding of dhammas? But actually not you who has it at all.
Okay, but so what is the purpose?
To know is better than ignorance. Understanding is better.
Better for whom?
For understanding the truth.
Who understands the truth?
Understanding understands the truth.
No one at all.
So there's no benefit in it.
The benefit is understanding is different from ignorance.
But
still, ignorance is Dhamma. I am Dhamma again, or I am Anatta again. If you take that for I.
If I don't take this I, what?
No matter you take it or not, ignorance is ignorance.
And?
And it conditions lobha, attachment, aversion in all unwholesome speech and deeds.
Arises and falls away.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I care?
Would you like to be an animal? All right.
But
anything.
No me. How can I be animal if there is no me? Who becomes the animal in the next
Dhamma,
life?
Dhamma. That's Dhamma. Why we call it Dhamma.
So
we learn to understand what one takes for oneself, or everyone thinks that there is self or ego. It's only different Dhamma at a time.
So, no self, no nothing mm-hmm. to become an animal.
Ka.
But some Dhammas lead to an end of suffering, and some Dhammas lead to more dukkha.
But who experienced the dukkha?
No, who?
Still in the jiva-jiva-jiva. But definitely dukkha is experienced.
A question about reincarnation. Reincarnation. If I am a human, right? Can I be in a future life? Because I was doing a bad things, an animal, or I just in future life can only be a human and human and human, and then if I will be doing a good things and my karma will be good, then I could be someone else.
You won't be Adam anyway. As
I know,
Vaita.
Adam dies and
so no more like
yeah. I know. Not no ego, but can I be an animal in the next life because of my bad decisions?
There is Patisandhicitta when the time, the moment one is born, and then there is Jyotichitta. And these are all conditioned by karma. These are Vipakachittas, birth is consciousness is Vipakachitta, and are conditioned by karma. That is what we do, what we... what exactly? That is accumulated and results in birth. And birth, and then it goes on like that. But it's not Adam or Alberto or Kun Su Chin that is born. It's Chitta, it's consciousness and Rupa as well, because Kama produces Rupa too. Your body is made by Kama. Your eyes. Your what you smell is all made by karma. It's not made by you wanting this or that.
Yeah.
Karma conditions rupa as well as vipaka.
Back to your question, Wojtek, about why does it matter if there's no self, like at this moment, which is better, understanding or ignorance? Kindness or anger at this moment, even though it doesn't belong to anyone, which is more useful, more helpful.
Helpful for whom?
Not for anyone. For the value of kusala, for the value of understanding, for the development of wisdom, not for anyone.
However you define it, helpful, wholesome, good, all this adjective means brings benefits to someone.
Again, it's back to
universally, why should I care if there is more wisdom or more ignorance, more
you
suffering?
You cannot care because there's no you to care.
But can I say that? Because karma condition next rebirth, but condition vipaka in this lifetime too. So we don't know. So. Karma conditions vipaka, that's all, future vipaka. But future can be in this lifetime, in next lifetime, in 10 million lifetimes. So you're saying that it just conditions
but again,
vipaka?
In order for me.
Would
to
you like to
know me?
No, you.
Okay,
there's a stream.
There's no you.
There's a stream
of namas and rupas that
there
is taken for Wojtek.
Again, so should I care for this stream or not?
It's not a question of
but
care.
When you say you, I mean, you're not there, right? But there is something there. It's not you. It's not Wojtek, but there is something there.
There is something there.
Sitting on a seat which is not there, on a chair which is not there, on a room which is not there.
Is that something that makes decisions? Is that something that makes decisions?
All the time.
So Chitta makes decisions.
Right now. Right now.
Vitaka leads one way or another.
But a decision is just a moment of thinking.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter whether you decide A or B. Conditions will decide eventually whether it is A or B.
Not you to make any decision at all.
Can you open this?
Yes.
Jagrit, do you have anything to say or ask about?
Yesterday when we discussed about eating ice cream at night, and one word that Ajahn said, any action has to be a result follow. So it doesn't matter who or who am I. If citta arises, which with the kusala or kusala, there will be vipaka, but not to whom. But there will be a citta, kusala citta, or kusala citta and a vipaka, the result of it. I'm not quite, I get this, but would you please elaborate more? Because there is an action, there should be a result. No matter who it is, because we don't have anything as self. But the Dhamma is real. There is the absolute reality. You cannot deny the absolute reality.
And Dhammas, Kusala Dhammas, are for the benefit of oneself, that stream of Jetasikas and Rupis that is known as Voiting. And also for the benefit of all other beings. Whereas Akusala is harmful. And the ultimate criterion for beneficial and harmful is continued existence, life in samsara.
What I think what really is the core of the problem is beneficial. If you say kusala, akusala, for me, I cannot go away from making decisions.
Because it's for me and I make decisions,
that stream makes decisions.
But
I don't care.
There
has to be decisions.
But it's only a problem because there is the idea that I'm making decisions or it is for me.
It's thinking, correct?
Yeah, it's just a moment of thinking.
Care who makes the decisions. Decisions
just decision thinking that is conditioned to arise.
So there is no decisions.
Thinking makes decisions, but the thinking is conditioned.
If it's conditions, there is no decision.
Well, whether there's thinking to do this or that, there is that thinking of that way or that way by conditions.
So again, this after this lecture...
Just different cheetahs, cheetah seekers and rupas that are conditioned, that's all there are. So we think, oh, I decided to come to Poland, but actually just different moments of thinking that were conditioned to arise and think in that way. So what we think of as free will or me making a decision is just more moments of conditioned thinking. As Jonathan said, decisions is just thinking.
Can the table make decision?
No.
Why?
Because it doesn't exist.
Pardon?
It doesn't exist.
It's what does it exist?
Table. It's not Dhamma. It's hardness.
Hardness doesn't experience anything.
Hardness doesn't experience anything.
As there is no table, there is no self, no you, but there are realities.
There are realities, yes.
Without, if there is no citta cetasika, can there be any decision?
No citta, no decisions.
No decision, right?
Yes.
So what makes decision?
That was my question. What makes decisions?
The reality, which can know or experience an object.
Yes. That reality makes decisions.
It's conditioned to arise, to see, to think, to make decision. That's why we talk about the absolute realities. Otherwise, there is always the idea of I at moment of seeing, at moment of hearing, tasting, thinking, and making decision.
Making decision is, decisions are a concept.
It does matter as long as there is a reality which experiences. Anything can be object of the experiences. Like whisper object now is the object of seeing only. And thinking things about shape and form. So there's idea of someone or something all the time. But without the absolute realities, there would be anything at all. Even decision.